Hi, everyone. This is Mary Kate, and you are listening to Pop Off, the pop culture podcast about everything. This is literally my third time recording this because I could not figure out how to work Anchor, but thank God it's actually a really good podcast platform, and this is where I'm going to be doing all of my shows this summer. I wanted to do a creative outlet kind of thing this summer, and I decided what is better than the thing that literally encompasses everything I'm interested in, which is pop culture. So I decided that I'm going to be doing a weekly podcast with some special guests every week, with a quick little segment about current events and then a awesome theme every week, basically talking all things pop culture, and talking about the things that America really cares about the most. So this week I have decided to bring on a great pal of mine to talk about a few different topics. And this bee is named Bready Eye.
Hello, 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 hello. Oh, I'm blushing at that introduction. They just can't see it. But yeah, I mean, my real name is Brett. Just around these parts where Mary Kate and I live, I've earned the name of Bready. And yeah, I mean, to quote Mary Kate's mom from earlier in the night, introducing me to some company they had over, I'm a good chum of Mary Kate, and
good chum. That wasn't even the quote.
No, she said good friend, but I just wanted to say good chum. But Mary Kate and I have been through a lot. I've known her since like elementary school when she threw an acorn at my nose and I overreacted and cried a lot.
I feel like that would happen. Yeah, like now.
That's actually going to be what the next season of Ryan Murphy's Feud is about. Mary Kate Murphy and Brett Arubino, and
you are the worst.
Yeah, and then in high school, we like miraculously became like super duper close. All of a sudden,
miraculously, I was like, you know what? I don't have enough friends. I've got to pick.
Yeah,
the kid
that she essentially just took pity on me, and I was like, huh, I don't have a lot of friends, so I'll take what I can get right now, and I most certainly did, and yeah, it worked out. I mean.
A crush on me junior year.
Yeah. It turned out it was just intense feelings of like admiration for how cool you were because I'm very gay. In case it wasn't obvious from the get-go in like this octave of my voice. And then like texted her, called her every day of our first year of college. And
that's a big move.
Yeah, which was interesting for both of us. But
all right, well. That's it from the peanut gallery over here.
Yeah, but, that's my cue to shut the hell up.
So thank you, Bready, for being on. And what are we going to be talking about today?
We are talking about, let's get a drum roll. Harry Potter! Harry Potter! Okay. Yeah.
What brought Brett and I together. You know,
Harry Potter's got a special place.
You know, I was like going to read Harry Potter the summer before senior year. And then literally one of the first things I talked about with Brett that summer when we first like were becoming really good friends was Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So, and like, it literally was what we were like, that's what bonded us in like
that's
third
all we
grade.
Could text about. Yeah. Yeah. So, we've always like bonded over Harry Potter. Harry Potter brings people together essentially, like acorns, like thrown at noses. Yeah. Like, I'm sorry, who?
When Brett invited me over and he showed me his Harry Potter Lego collection, that really was
really
the
won
start.
Her heart. Yeah.
But first, like I said, we're going to be doing a little 10 minute segment about current events because, this is going to be about pop culture, but I figure like sticking to like one theme every week, like doesn't really recap like what's happened during the week, concerning pop culture. So, I basically decided we're going to be doing some current events and we wrote down a few different ideas. So the first thing on the agenda for today is Pete Davidson and Ariana Grande.
Oh, wow. So much to talk about. So much to talk about considering they have been dating for 3 weeks. Like, even a month.
Girl, I mean, honestly, I think they're really cute together. I mean, I liked Mac Miller, who's like Ariana Grande's last
ex-lover,
boyfriend.
Yeah.
I thought they were pretty cute together. Even though he kind of creeps me out a little
bit. Yeah, I didn't really know much about him besides the fact that, like, he's got kind of a creepy name, which could only mean,
what?
I don't know, Mac Miller sounds like a guy that, like, fishes at the pier, and it's like, there's Mac Miller, and it's like,
I wonder what his, like, real name is.
It can't be Mac Miller. Like,
if
who
it
hates
is,
their son
like,
enough to be like, Mrs. Miller, like, what do you want to name him?
And he, she's like, Mac.
Macary. Like, no.
Macaroon.
Macaroon Miller. Oh.
His name will be Macaroon Miller.
Yikes. Yeah. She could do, I always thought she could do better. And like,
Pete
Davidson.
It's like you're setting your kid out to be bullied at school.
Yeah,
if you name your kid
true.
Macaroon. But that's obviously not his real name.
Yeah.
And Pete Davidson is a fine, fine man.
I don't blame her for wanting to lock it down after 3
Yeah, I know. He could get so much. He could get it any place. So
I know.
Really?
Yeah, anytime. Really.
Pete Davidson,
if you're hearing this and like you're having second thoughts about the engagement, like just know that like us two, like we're always here.
Honestly, like worst comes to worst, like she writes an amazing breakup song about you. You might get some royalties. You can sue her.
Really.
This
could be. Yeah, this is gonna be great for you, no matter what, Pete.
Yeah.
Essentially,
you really won that lottery.
Yeah. Yeah, and also like real talk, like I hope things work out for them. Like,
no,
yes,
yeah.
This is kind of jumping the gun, like engagement 3 weeks in, but like they seem. I don't know. They seem, just from going from like social media and stuff, they seem really happy.
No, like, it's like the first I've really seen of like Ariana like being super open about like a boyfriend. And I'm like a huge Ariana Grande person. Like I've always have been. And so I think it's like really good for her. And I don't know. I think they deserve each other. And
yeah.
If they're going to be happy together, like who's to say? I mean, I don't want either of them to get hurt, you know? But.
Yeah,
you know.
Pete Davidson's got to keep being funny, and like Ariana Grande's got to keep singing. So let's hope. Yeah, I mean, they got to keep moving. You know what I always forget when I think about Ariana Grande? I was reading about this last night because, like, fun fact, I didn't know she was making an album. I just thought she had released No Tears Left to Cry, and I was like, oh, cool, like a single. And then I was like, oh, wait, she's doing
an entire
album.
No, wait, hold on. What comes after a single? I really
all right.
can't
you
remember.
Know what?
It's just,
she wouldn't.
It's at the tip of my tongue right now. What is it? What?
It's an album, Mary Kate.
Okay.
And you know what? She's so iconic. She wouldn't need to do that. She could just release No Tears Left to Cry and like be done with it.
I mean, she
did
her Christmas album. I mean, what is that song she has? Oh, Santa, Tell Me. That is a year-round bop.
Mm.
Year-round.
Mm. I don't know that song at all. I'm just going, to support me.
Right, well, that's an after-the-podcast.
Yeah, this is an after-the-podcast learning session.
Unfortunately,
we're about to
have. I wish I could just put Santa, Tell Me on repeat for the rest of this. We could go get an ice cream and just leave it be.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, and have someone else talk.
Like, damn, we need to get out of here.
Yeah, no, wait, what was it? Yeah, so my thing about Ariana Grande is that I always forget how insane Manchester was for her. Not to bring down the room, but like, yeah, I mean, I read, she rarely does interviews, and she did an interview for some spread a few nights ago, and she I don't know what to call it.
Cheese and crackers spread.
But yeah, she did an interview talking about it, and like the impact is it's crazy. Like that's what No Tears Left to Cry, that's like what pretty much inspired the song, and that's what's inspired like a lot
right
of the album.
Now, I'm in a state of mind.
No, like you jest, but like she really said that, like trying to put a spin on like doing One Love Manchester and trying to like put on a good face against all
that's really cool.
Yeah,
isn't I didn't
that
know
cool?
That's what it was about.
Yeah, she said that like all the lines about like we out here vibing and stuff is just like her trying to soldier on after.
Yeah, because it's a like, very different vibe. She's like, we out here vibing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what does this have to do with tears? But then
makes sense. Yeah, and
queen.
It kind of makes you think about her differently.
She is such an underrated
she
artist.
Really is
people
underrated.
Don't take her seriously.
They don't because of like Victorious and stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like
and
yeah.
Also she's just like she's not like you know how like some artists like right off the bat they're like supposed to be like this strong, powerful
right.
like woman who's like, which so many artists are like that and I love them for it, but I feel like she is just kind of like she's doing her own thing. She's not too worried about like being too like being taken seriously. She's like doing her own thing,
right?
And like I feel like people don't take her seriously because she's like all about having fun. Like her songs are really like poppy.
Yeah, they're really tweeny boppy, and I feel like that gets her ire. And yeah, sorry.
What does ire mean?
Ire, you know, like I don't know. It gets her like criticism from listeners.
I really ire. How do you spell?
Well,
ire?
I'm an English major in Clark, so I understand. I'll try and pull back.
You're like not an English major.
I'm not. I'm like a theater major and like also an
and
English
then,
major.
And then like
on the
someone
side.
Will mention something like related to English, and Brad will be like, "I'm an English major."
I'm like, look,
so
having read
know.
4 books in my life, I really think I'm.
You know, after reading The Great Gatsby, like I was just like, I am an English major.
Yeah, like that's really what pushed me to
push me to the edge. Okay.
Yeah, back on track.
Yeah, so back on track, that's, we're putting Ariana to the side. Right. We'll definitely come back to her because she's having, like, 4 new songs come out this week. So
yeah, I saw that. Like, God is a Woman and stuff like that, which I'm excited to listen to. I will definitely be giving Ariana a listen.
Okay.
Yeah.
What else has gone? Oh, our favorite president is in
what's meeting. He's meeting Kim Jong-un. Yeah.
Why is that so? Oh my God, I saw this thing on Twitter today that was like, this is more like slander on Fox News than anything, but it was like all these like Fox News correspondents, and they were like Obama like wants to, it was this like their clips from like 2008 when Obama was like, I would meet with like my enemies and my allies, and they were like, how dare he think he could meet with this leader, like this danger to our society and country, etc. And now, and like then the clips are like diplomatic,
they're like, oppa! Victory, like diplomatic victory. Yeah. Oh man. Wow. We're doing a great job keeping our political bias.
Yeah.
Out
no.
Of,
just kidding.
Out of your podcast.
Yeah. Wait. It's been like 10 minutes. I'm already. So
yeah.
We'll skip past that really quick, and
it was only a matter of time before we talked about the big man on Capitol Hill.
He's not big.
Yeah, the little man on Capitol Hill. Trying to think. Oh, I started this new show on FX, and I must say to every listener right now that it has my 100% endorsement. Like, go out and watch it. It's truly worth your time. It's called Pose. It was created. It's another Ryan Murphy work of art. And it is essentially...
How dare you say Ryan Murphy work of art and you slander Glee? Every
I don't slander Glee.
Get.
I'm gonna. The internet's gonna hate me when you put this online, Mary Kate. But
whatever.
So Mary Kate loves Glee, or rather, she loves like the first few seasons of Glee. And
who doesn't? Who likes? Who's like? Yeah, I think the fifth season's definitely my favorite.
My boyfriend.
No, James.
Yeah,
no
he loves
way.
Glee. He loves all of Glee. And, like, yeah, like, the number of times between you and him telling me to watch Glee, but, like...
No, he said the fifth is his favorite season.
No,
oh,
I was
okay.
Kidding. I'm just
I
saying
like him
that,
again.
Like...
I like him again.
Oh, stop. He's a good man. But, yeah, I will probably never have the patience to finish Glee. It's just not my speed. I'm a bad gay. I know. I'm a disgrace to the culture. Yeah, like Mary Kate's like,
you might have come out like 5 years earlier if you watched Glee.
Stop. No, I was thinking about that. I watched the first episode with the kids I babysit, and I was like, this isn't
wait
the worst.
Until you get just watch the first season. Like, you don't have to watch anything else. Like, I will forgive you, even though the second season is work of art. The first season is really, people forget how funny it is. Like, and
it
like
was
they
funny.
They tried to make it funny in like the third and fourth seasons, and that's when like it failed. Like, when they were really trying to be funny, like. When they stopped listening at like listing as a drama, because it was so like the humor was like so like witty and like cynical in the first season, and like it was like nothing that had ever been on TV before. Like
I don't know what's been so unappealing about Glee. I think it's just that I don't know. It's just not. It's never been my. I just have always really not enjoyed. Really light and like fun.
Yeah, you
television.
Like dark stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like as we've like, I don't know if. Oh, I'm thinking that we already established that my favorite book is Order of the Phoenix, but that was in the last take we did before we realized nothing recorded.
Good times.
We're 15 minutes
super
ago.
Techie.
Yeah, super techie. But yeah, no, I'm not really big on like happy-go-lucky media and stuff, which is why I love. Pose, Ryan Murphy's newest show. It's essentially set in 1987 New York City, and it's looking at Harlem drag culture and drag balls and different drag houses competing.
Angels in America.
The balls.
Shook.
Yeah, I mean, like the show we saw at the ART in Cambridge
literally.
Is also shook. Like it's literally.
Ryan Martin went to go see that, and he's like, you know what? FX, you know, bring the writers in.
He was like, Ryan Murphy. He was like, get in here. Let's get this up by June 3rd, and they're like, we can do it. And like Ryan Murphy,
he's like Adam Shankman,
could.
Isn't that the guy? He's like Adam Shankman, get in.
Yeah,
here.
The number of like shows Ryan Murphy like kicks out, like I would not be surprised if he saw the same show and was like, all right, well, let's get this girl up and running.
I mean, I know he's like a big theater fan because he literally pulled like Lea Michele, Jen Ashquist, like were on Glee from like straight from Broadway.
Wow.
They were all in Spring Awakening. Oh, and Jonathan Groff You know Jonathan Groff?
No, I've only heard of Jonathan
Hamilton.
Groff. Yeah. Another thing I haven't seen.
All of the things that I...
Like, a good gay should see. That, like, I just am like, what's that?
We're going to have, like, a jar every time Brett says that he's gay, and we're going to put IMO to dollar every time he brings up his sexual orientation.
Jar. Yeah.
Literally the gay jar.
The gay jar.
The jar of gay.
Are queer. Yeah, no, Ryan Murphy always does a great job with casting it. I mean, Pose employs and has casted over, I think, 50 transgender actors and actresses.
Okay, snaps to Ryan Murphy for representation, legend,
seriously,
icon. Honestly, like, I love Ryan Murphy. He's just a big meme because his shows are so hit or miss, I think.
Yeah, I know that you hate American Horror Story, which is
funny. No, I don't hate American. I just didn't. Really? It wasn't like my cup of tea. It's just like Glee, you say, isn't your cup of tea.
Yeah, that's true.
American Horror. I also don't like horror-y stuff.
Yeah,
like
which is like my shit. Yeah.
No, you're like Bates Motel, girly. Yeah,
never forget, like, senior year drama. Like, I was talking about, like, watching Bates Motel, another great show. Not by Ryan Murphy, but also a legend. And Mary-Kate just, like, totally read me all out of the blue and was like, you love villains, and you love horror films, and you love really dark and sad things. And I was like...
No, you were like, you right.
I was like, you right, Mary Kanye.
Let's not bring up the devil on this show.
Yeah.
He doesn't deserve our airtime. Yeah.
We don't need the dragon energy in the room tonight.
Yeah, there's no dragon energy.
There's no dragon
in this,
energy in the room
in
tonight.
This house. Ugh. In this house. You know the meme? It's
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
This
in
house,
this house, we like
we
blank.
Do not.
Yeah.
We are not dragon energy. Mm-mm. No. Your Phoenix energy.
Ugh, order. Of
great
the
transition.
A great transition. Look
to
at us.
Harry Potter. Yes. Because, and I was skeptical of doing Harry Potter for the first episode.
I had to
episode
convince her for this. Yeah.
Because I was like, I don't
it
want people to think I'm just like a huge nerd. Like,
but it's not even like a nerd thing anymore, I feel like. I
well,
feel like
it's
Harry
not,
Potter transcends.
But it's not like main pop culture. Like, there's more like extreme pop culture things I could have. Like, I was thinking about like doing pop. Like, Pop Queens might be like a future episode,
right?
Should be. Like,
yeah,
like pop queens, as in like girl, like sing female singers,
girls, yeah,
female pop queens,
right?
We are just gonna do Harry Potter because we are Harry Potter stans, both of us,
right? And also, like, that's a thing everyone. I feel like everyone knows Harry Potter, like,
yeah,
in some way.
It's
so,
just
like,
more specific than I was thinking for the first episode. But honestly, you convinced me.
I sure did. I'm he glad
sure
I did too.
Sweaty.
I have so many things to talk about. I am so excited. Let's all right, do it.
Brett has more things to talk about probably because
than
I
any other episode
well,
like, I'll be
at
on
work. I'm always like, oh, I should think of things to talk about Harry Potter. But literally, I watch this podcast called Potterless, which you need to listen to.
Which or I will be listening to.
It's so good. So it's basically about this. It's this guy, he's 25, and he's never read Harry Potter in his life before.
Oh, that'd
he's
be
only
so
seen like the first couple movies. And basically, he reads the books, like a couple, he reads a couple chapters, records a couple episodes.
Does
and
he
each
like react to them and like
yes
give thoughts? Oh, that's
yes, it's
lovely
amazing. He brings on guests and he's so funny. Like, he basically brings like a huge, like, cynical eye to the books because, like, I think of Harry Potter with like such like
revere
warmth
yeah
in my heart because, like, it's my childhood.
Right.
Like, I literally
reverence
listened, like, watched, listened, watched, read.
You've done every
books.
You girl, you've done everything with Harry Potter.
You know what? I am
you
the
and
queen.
You and Daniel Radcliffe, yeah.
We out here. Yeah, so I was like literally Harry Potter number one stan like in for my whole life, but this guy really like talks about like how Harry is kind of like a shitty character sometimes.
Yeah, no, there's a lot to pick apart in Harry Potter.
Yeah,
which is
exactly
what I want to
talk and he
about
literally goes chapter by chapter. He makes notes while he's reading, so like he goes back to like talk about everything.
Right.
I'm obsessed with it. It's a great thing if, oof, like, you have a lot of time to, like, listen to things, because at work, I just listen to it and do my work and, like, just sit there. So, great. So, basically,
geek.
Yeah, yeah, I'm the best employee.
Yeah, are we gonna do rankings?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
the first thing we're gonna do, just to clarify where we're both at with Harry Potter, I'm sorry for everyone listening who hasn't read Harry Potter, but if you haven't,
I feel like
then
they're
maybe
gone. They're gone by now.
Yeah, you're
yeah
out of here. You
yeah
know what? If you haven't read Harry Potter, then you shouldn't even have listened
get
to the
off
first half
get
of this
right
because
go culture
you shouldn't
yourself
have even
yeah
clicked on this because
you should be listening
yeah
to a book on tape right about now.
Yeah, you should be watching Harry Potter and
yeah
the Sorcerer's Stone right now.
True.
Okay, so, Brady, since you're the guest of honor,
oh,
why don't
wow
you
I'm
say
blushing again
your order? And this is in from best.
Yeah, this is from best to least favorite. Yeah, favorite to least favorite. Okay, so my first one is Order of the Phoenix, as we've established, a controversial pick. My second is, I think we have the same one, Deathly Hallows.
Yes.
My third is Goblet of Fire. Goblet of Fire. The fourth is
Wait, mine is two.
Whoa, I feel like peeking over at
other
your list,
than
we
the
have
first
kind of
one,
the same
we have
one.
Kind of similar, yeah. Which I think everyone does.
Right, yeah, I mean, some of the books are just, like, it's clear that, yeah. Like, they were written. Yeah, yeah, we'll talk about it. My fourth is Half-Blood Prince.
Bless.
Yeah, my fifth, one. Prisoner of Azkaban. Sixth is Sorcerer's Stone, which, fun fact, up until 5 minutes ago, said Half-Blood Prince again, because, like, I wrote this at, like, 3 a.m. a few nights ago, and I was just, like, brain dead. And my least favorite is...
Chamber of Secrets. Same. We literally have the same list except for Half-Blood Prince and Order of the Phoenix.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so why don't I say mine, then we can discuss.
Yeah, 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 let's debrief.
Okay. So my number one is Half-Blood Prince for very obvious reasons. It's a lot of people's favorite, but honestly, like, I felt like I can continue to relate to that, like, even as I get older, like, because, like, while every time I've read it through my teenage years, like, that's kind of, like, the teenage angst and, like, crushes and Quidditch. That was my whole teenage life, was obviously fighting the Dark
She's
Lord,
tearing up, you guys.
Learning I'm the Chosen One, etc.
Right. Yes.
So, yeah, and then, okay, I'm sorry. I just talked when I was supposed to just be reading the list.
I was like, wait, can I go back?
Yeah. And so my second is Deathly Hallows,
right,
for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. I feel like Deathly Hallows, oh my god, I'm not going to talk about it. We're going to go back
here.
And talk about it.
Yeah.
We're going to go back and talk about it. 3, Goblet of Fire. 4, Prisoner of Azkaban. 5, Order of the Phoenix. 6, Sorcerer's Stone. 7, Chamber of Secrets. So basically, we have the same list.
Except
but just...
you're sleeping on Order of Phoenix.
But okay, here's the thing. Actually, Potterless has made me like it more because this is why you need to listen to it. So
that's like the like story of my life. Is Mary Kate telling me, this is why you need to experience this culture. And I'm like, oh, okay.
And you're like, I will never do that, but thank you for your input.
I'm like, I'm going to rewatch Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt for the fifth time, but thank
yeah,
you for
thank
the
you
offer.
So much. Yeah, you're yeah. like, you should listen to this new, I mean, watch this new Ryan Murphy show. And I'm like, I'm watching Sex and the City for the 7th time, actually.
So I'm a little busy, like a little tied up. You
a
know?
Little bit tied up.
Yeah.
You know. So... We just talked about Half-Blood Prince, but why don't you talk about why Order of the Phoenix is your favorite? Because it is an unorthodox kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I've never met someone that's like, oh yeah, like Order of the Phoenix, the longest Harry Potter book, like literally, I think 900 and something pages, like so fun.
So in-depth. Give you so much insight to the world.
So much insight to the world. Order of the Phoenix for me is like the turning point. No, I mean, if you want to look at the, like, track record of the books, you can kind of tell, you can kind of pinpoint.
No, it is the turning. I mean, well, it's kind of goes from, like, children's books to, like, young
adult. Yeah, but that feels like Goblet of Fire, because that's when Voldemort, like, rises again, and Cedric Diggory dies.
At the end of it, though.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so I guess, in essence, like, if you're looking at, like, an entire book, like, from start
to
finish.
It's like before, he's back, you know, when he, like, enters the arena again, and he's like, he's back! And everyone's like, there's literally a dead body on the ground, chill out.
No, but seriously, like, if you think about it, that moment when Harry Potter, like, brings back Cedric's, like, literal corpse during, like, the, like, Triwizard Tournament, like, that's kind of J.K. Rowling. To me, that was her saying, like,
that was
this
when the
is,
world turned, like,
yeah,
gray.
Yeah, the world turned upside down, to quote Hamilton.
You
but,
just...
Yeah, I make her want to die. But yeah, I mean, that felt like JK's moment of being like, this isn't just, like, a children's series anymore. I want to write something a little more serious. And yeah, I mean, in essence, Order of the Phoenix from, like, start to end, it really does, it commits to that, like, sort of adult feeling. I also appreciate that... sort of like
you appreciate
I very much appreciate that how every other book has just been kind of about Voldemort and how he's this really bad dude. They brought in, like, a character that is almost, like, worse than Voldemort in Dolores Umbridge from the Ministry of Magic, and I think it's
who is a teacher at our school
who is a,
you know
what?
Which one.
Oh yeah, I literally know exactly who you're talking about.
I don't think
we've
talked about this before, but I think you know exactly.
I think
who
I know exactly
about.
Who you're talking about, and yeah, like everyone listening right now is like, "What are you talking about?"
Yeah.
But yeah, no.
If you go to our school and you're listening to this, just like DM me or something, and I'll let
or
you know.
Like just think critically about the faculty of Westwood High School, and yeah, Anywho, we can edit this out. But anyways, yeah, no.
We probably won't because I'm too lazy, but.
Yeah, in any case, Umbridge for me is, it's kind of, like, commendable that J.K. Rowling, like, got out of the habit of just being, like, Voldemort has returned and gave us an enemy that that comes from the Ministry of Magic, which I think is
poignant. Very relevant.
I was going to say poignant today because, like, if you look at government
I think, like, Order of the Phoenix used to, like, not make any sense to me because I, like, was a kid who trusted the government.
Well, yeah, I mean, also, we lived under a different government.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
also
like,
true.
When we were like Bush. Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, like, from stuff we can remember, from, like, 2010 to 2015.
Like, I didn't really pay attention to politics, until I was, like,
yeah, the
in
formative
fifth
years
grade
of our lives.
No, even, like, eighth grade, I don't think I'd give a shit about politics.
Yeah,
so.
Seriously, I didn't either. Like, we didn't, like, we truly just didn't know what we were living under, like,
yeah.
Bush and stuff. So, like, really all that we know is, like, the Obama administration and stuff, and, like, everyone
this
at
crap.
Home, like, and, like, to each your own in terms of politics, but I think it's just, like, pretty factual to say that, like, things definitely felt a little more less, like, a fucking shit show during the years 2008 to 2016.
Less turmoil.
Yeah, and I think once you kind of live through that turmoil of
and
our current administration.
Like, the government ignoring, like, the needs of the citizens. Like,
yeah, I think
like,
that
Harry Potter, like, literally saying, like, he's back, I saw him, like, one of the most powerful wizard in the world,
it.
Believing him.
Yeah.
And Fudge being like, I don't want you to steal my job.
Yeah.
Like, that reminds me of someone we know.
Yeah, I mean, the relevance is kind of puts Order of Phoenix back into perspective. So yeah, I'll shut up. But it's dark and it's gritty and it tells a story that like really feels like JK didn't want to tell because it's just so long and sad. But like she knew she had to tell it. And
that's true. I think it also
the hell out of her for it.
It gives so much like kind of like it. Tells so much about what's going to happen in the next couple books, like, and you kind of need to pay attention to it to, like, really understand, like, Harry in the next couple books. It's also so real to being 15. Like, remember when you're 15, you're just so angry all the time, and, like, you just
do
not feel like that.
No, yeah, I know how you feel. Which is kind of what you were talking about.
So angsty and so sassy and pissy.
I was like God,
chill.
I hate being straight.
Oh my god. I'm sure Harry Potter felt the same.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. Yeah, well.
What was
here's
his love for Malfoy?
Here's hoping he can come out in the ninth book, but that's sort of.
Wait, isn't that the plot of Cursed Child? That's what I thought.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's his curse.
Oh my god.
I'm gonna die. All right, tell me a little bit about Half-Blood Prince. Tell me what your thought process is. All right,
well, I already kind of talked about
that's
it.
That's true, yeah.
But I can just recap, I guess. I don't know. I just feel like Half-Blood Prince is, like, kind of where we learn everything that we've been wondering for the last, like, five books. So, like, not only, I think, is it, like, it mixes, like, the fun ways that, like, teenagers, like, get up to trouble in, like, the muggle world and the wizarding world. Like, I think it's, like, super accurate. But then I love, love, love the Pensieve scenes. Those are, like, some of my favorite in the whole
book.
It's
such a cool plot device for flashbacks and stuff.
I know.
Yeah.
And, like, when they go, like, the whole getting the memory from Slughorn thing. Like, there's just so many little nuances in the book, but then it's also, like, relatable. Like, like, it's, like, you feel like you could be them. And I think, like, what the movies, like, kind of fuck up is how, like, funny, like, they all are. Like, they are literally idiots. Like, they, like, when you think about Harry Potter, like, he's, like, just slid by all the time. Like, he gets, like, by, like, luck and, like, he's just dicking around with his friends, and Hermione's doing all the work. Like, she's the one who, like, tells him all the spells.
Can we give a shout-out
like,
to Emma Watson? The
quick
shout-out. Yeah.
No, I don't know. Like, I feel like Half-Blood Prince I've related to, and it also, like, gave me insight to, like, what the world is, what they're up against in the seventh book. And
yeah,
I feel like the seventh book would just be everyone's favorite because it's so good. It mixes literally everything good, but I feel like you need to have like a favorite that's about like the Hogwarts years.
You can't just I mean, I think everyone's tempted to pick Deathly Hallows as their favorite just because it's like the most like incredible conclusion to a book series that I've
and it's so
I've ever read.
When you think about J.K. Rowling writing it, you're like, how did you even think of this? Like how it's so. Like such a parallel to the real world, and it's like she's been planting it in all the prior books. Like it's crazy.
But although I want to go back and talk about that, and I want to talk about what something you said a moment ago with Harry Potter, like sort of like kind of like when you can take a step back today and realize that there's some, like, questionable stuff about the series in terms of, like, how much Harry slid by and, like, how much Harry kind of got away with. Do you feel like, I'm asking you, MK, because, like, I don't think we ever talked about this, and I've wanted to, but I was waiting for the podcast, because I wanted it to be a real conversation. I am curious, do you go back, because I haven't reread the books yet. I'm sure I will, but...
how many times have you read the books?
I think twice.
Oh my god, you haven't.
What? How many times have you reread the books? Am I about to be read?
Probably 15.
Wow.
Like...
All right. All right, cool. Maybe I'm not as huge of a Harry Potter nerd as I thought.
No, you are. Like, you still...
They take a lot of time. Yeah, they're a huge
and
time commitment.
When I first read them, I definitely didn't understand them. Like, I understand, like, the main plot points, right. But it wasn't, like, I didn't, like, completely understand, like, everything.
Yeah,
that was
a lot
going
goes
on.
Over your head, and then you kind of, which is, again, like.
And every time I read it, I understand more, which is, like,
yeah,
what
exactly.
I love. Like, which is the best, like. You know it's a good book when,
right.
Like, kind of thing.
Right. But do you ever feel like when you go and reread it and, like, you start to understand more, do you start to feel, like, the cynicism creep in? Because for me, it's tough to go back and read. I remember I when I went back the second time, which was a few years ago, and read The Sorcerer's Stone, first time I read the series was, like, fifth, sixth grade. Mm-hmm. Second time was, like, freshman year, sophomore year. And mm-hmm. I remember reading Sorcerer's Stone and Chamber of Secrets and Prisoner of Azkaban, and I was like, wow, like, these are just very much children's books. And when
mm-hmm.
you juxtapose it to Deathly Hallows and Half-Blood Prince and Order of the Phoenix, like, they're on different planes of...
But it's cool because you kind of grow up with them, because it takes you so long to read them that, like, by the time you read the sixth or seventh one, like, your reading level is, like, you're in... middle school or something,
right. Which,
you know,
works,
like,
really well when you're growing up with the series and waiting for each book to come out. But
it's
interesting if
you were to read them all in order.
I don't know if it works when you're 17 and you're like, I want to, like, get cultured and read Harry Potter, and you read Sorcerer's Stone and you're like, is this how every book is gonna be, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I also think JK kind of stopped giving a fuck because she was allowed to, like, publish whatever she wanted because it was, like, the most popular book series of all time.
True, actually.
So,
yeah,
like,
wow.
The fourth and fifth book, she was literally like, fuck it, let me write this, like, insanely detailed thing about how the Quidditch World Cup goes on. Like, remember, that was part of the Potterless episode I watched today, was, like, literally, it was, like, 150 pages of, like, bullshit about Harry's back at the Dursleys, and now they're going to the Quidditch Cup. It was, like, JK stopped giving a fuck at that point.
Yeah, yeah, which really, like, if you think about where she was in terms of, like, her personal feelings on, like, her confidence in writing and stuff, if you think mm-hmm. about where she was when she published Sorcerer's Stone,
exactly.
She literally used... Like, she didn't want to use her name because she was worried, like, a female-identifying name would, like, scare away male readers.
Yeah.
And, like, if you think about that versus you're so right by the time, like, Order of the Phoenix comes around and she's like, mm-hmm. this bitch is going to be 950 pages and you guys are going to deal with it. Like, that's insane. Yeah, it's insane to see her confidence kind of travel that far. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, so we've kind of talked a lot about the books, but do you want to talk about, like, kind of the effect, like, it's had on pop culture, so we tie in themes of the podcast a bit. We can talk about, why don't we talk about a little bit The Cursed Child and the play?
There's definitely an after party aspect of Harry Potter in the books, because, like, I feel like someone...
After party
aspect. Yeah, well, I feel like you read the books and you're like, oh, like, well, that's, like, the full story, and, like, that's pretty cool. But then I feel like there was a point where J.K. Rowling went a little crazy and kind of not, I don't mean, like, actually crazy. I'm not trying to imply that, like, J.K. Rowling is mentally ill in any way. That'd be very rude. But what I think is questionable is the, like, sort of cash cow element that Harry Potter kind of has. I don't know how necessary it is to write an entire... like, Pottermore, like, a series of Pottermore entries on Ilvermorny and, like, this whole, like, North American magic aspect thing, which
I think it's interesting because I want to know it.
I want to know it, too.
But I also think that one of the things I was like, what, was how crappy the script of Cursed Child is to read. And I literally spent $30 on the book and like read like maybe two pages before I was like, this is awful. And like, this is not how I imagined any of the writing to be, like how like I wanted it to be. And then like apparently on stage it's really good because it's like you can see all the costumes. I mean, I would like to see it. I haven't seen it, obviously.
Good luck, because it's literally it's two different shows and it's $800 total, which again which is another thing that just kind of pisses me off about.
And it costs so much to produce. Did you hear that? It costs like $40 million to produce or something.
Yeah, and you know they also have the movie rights to Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. So if they ever wanted to just say, after we're done with our 5-film series Fantastic Beasts, let's go back and make
haven't seen it. Let's make the 14th.
Yeah, Mary Kate still hasn't seen Fantastic Beasts and Word of
Honor. Yeah, that makes me a fake fan a little bit.
Although,
but
Fantastic Beasts is like,
I was just scared of the world getting ruined for me.
It's I don't think it is. I think it, as someone that has seen Fantastic Beasts a few times, because I really love it, for me it honestly sort of righted the wrongs of sort of the like blunder she had when she first wrote about like North America Wizarding World. Because, I mean, it definitely doesn't right the wrongs in the sense of, like, you were not super respectful to Native American culture when you wrote and, like, produced this piece of literature. But I think it definitely sort of, like, in the same way that Cursed Child becomes much more...
Is it Cursed or Cursed?
I say Cursed, but it's the same deal of, like, philosopher versus sorcerers. I think in England they say Cursed. I think here we just say Cursed.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. I think in the same way that Cursed Child ends up being really much more, like, easy to stomach, or much easier to stomach when you see the show, I think it's way easier and to believe that there's a Wizarding World on the other side of the pond when you see Fantastic Beasts. I'm really excited about Crimes of Grindelwald. That's going to be a bomb-ass.
Well, I'm, like, really interested in Grindelwald. Honestly, though, I would not have picked, like, the Grindelwald path to go on. Like, that's the thing I was kind of, like,
really
interested in.
What I totally would have. I was really hoping they would. I'm curious why you wouldn't.
I don't know. I feel like we understood enough about Grindelwald. Like, it's like, I felt like we already went through the, like, the Voldemort, like, evil ruler thing. Like, I really want to know more about, like, the personal lives of, like, wizards and stuff. Maybe just because I haven't seen the movie, I don't really know how to judge it yet.
Yeah,
but
it's not definitely, it's not Grindelwald's heavy. He shows up at the very end of the movie. I won't spoil it, but yeah. He definitely doesn't, like, run the show. I think what I'm excited about for with the, like, rest, the other four Fantastic Beasts movies, because I guess that's necessary. I think that...
No, they're not trying to make money at all.
No, they're not trying to make money with their two theme parks. But, yeah.
Which, are not.
You don't think the theme parks are very good? Hold up. 1 second. All right. What's your beef?
So, I think this is a me problem, because it is really, like, well done, but it's, like, I would rather read about really, like, very, very, very in-depth, like, descriptions of, like, the magical world than, like,
the
details, and, like, I would rather watch the movies and, like, see the movie magic than, like, oh, you point your wand at this thing that is obviously, you know, like, it's obviously fake. It's, like... There's no magic, quote unquote, in the, I don't know,
I know what you're
saying.
Which
is a hard pills to swallow, you know that meme. It's like, it's like hard pills to swallow, like, the magical world. Also, the fact, the magical world is always, like, my little, like, everything is, like, their, you feel like it's your thing. And it's, like, Harry Potter's literally, like, the most beloved, like, children's fantasy series of all time. Yet I always felt like it was, like, the thing about the Wizarding World is that it's a secret. And so, like, when you, it's, like, part of the Muggle world, like, when they put it in, like, Universal,
that's
and
so
you walk
true.
Through all this
that's
other
so
crap,
true.
Like,
yeah.
to get to it.
That's very true. No, that you're 100% right. Yeah, there is sort of a weird feeling of, like, breach trust when, like, you have to walk by, like, the Spider-Man roller coaster to get to, like, the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. And it's, like...
And it's, like, this is fake. And, like, you see, like... things that, like, obviously would not, and you see, like, the, like fake houses in What the fuck is the town called? Hogsmeade.
Hogsmeade, yeah.
And it's like those fake ass little houses and like the Hogwarts, fake snow and like
Hogwarts
the fake
is Hogwarts. Disproportionate with it. Yeah. Yeah. It's you're right. It's a hard thing to materialize in an amusement park, and it's hard to do it well.
And I'd say I know J.K. Rowling sold the rights to Warner Brothers, like, so it's kind of not her fault, but like,
yeah,
she wanted the movies to be made, but it's kind of like, I'm just a little annoyed. Like, I don't know. Like, I feel like people aren't, like, do you know what I mean?
No,
like,
I know what you're saying. There are definitely people that walk into the Wizarding World of Harry Potter and Universal and be like, oh, cool, like, I loved these movies, like, Hermione, like, Rupert Grint and stuff, like, you know? And that kind of does sort of, like, leave real, not, I don't want to say real, but fans that have read the books and kind of grown up with it, it feels like kind of a snub, and it feels kind of like a, like, you're opening the gates to, like, a big part. It feels like,
it's like you're, like, letting the muggles in.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
I mean, I know that's kind of,
no,
like
it's all right.
The point of the book is like they should maybe be kinder to muggles or whatever.
Right.
But it's like, I don't know. It's like, I would like to go. Don't they have like this world? Like, don't they have that huge Hogwarts replica, like in London? Like, can't you go to like?
Oh,
this,
I didn't know that.
It's not like literally full size, but it's like this huge. You can like walk around it, and like it's like a replica kind of thing of it. Like, I think. I don't know. I would like to go to like King's Cross Station or something. Like, that'd be really cool to me.
Yeah.
Like, that would be as amazing as Harry Potter World. And it was like, look at this fake ride about this haunted Hogwarts thing.
Like,
I was like,
no. Yeah.
I was like, they would just like use a spell or something.
Right,
like,
right.
I'm just.
But there's definitely some magic when like you walk in. Like, I remember my first time at Harry Potter World and I was like, like my jaw dropped, as I'm sure
a year
yours
ago,
did too.
You were like,
I've been twice. Like,
I'm kidding.
Yeah, no, I did go a year ago though, and I was like, I'm so excited. So like, thanks, Mary Kate.
Thanks
for that faithful.
Thanks, Kanye. Thanks, Mary.
Thank
Kanye.
You, Mary Kanye.
Very cool.
Oh God.
We didn't meme enough during this episode.
No, we really didn't. I'm sure we did. We're gonna we're gonna listen to this and be like, wow, all we did.
I can hear people falling asleep listening to us drone on about how why did they go in that direction with Grindelwald? It's like come on.
Oh, everyone's like,
and whoever
oh, okay.
the fuck is watching this is or listening to this is
like who's Grindelwald again?
It's like, can we go back to Ariana Grande? I mean, this is what I came for.
Yeah, wow. Like what a 360. Yeah. I think something, I know that we're kind of wrapping up, we're kind of losing time, but I think one thing that, like, I know I have to talk about, because I told myself I would bring this up, is that Harry Potter,
You're gonna leave this on a dim note, aren't you?
No, I'm just gonna leave it on a note to be like, I just want to leave it on a critical thinking note, because I don't want to let J.K. Rowling get away with everything. My friends at, should I say where I go to school? I'm saying where I go to school. I go to Clark University in Worcester, and I've had some friends there sort of like express some like harsh feelings on Harry Potter, and I definitely don't like, I don't think
I don't think it deserves the slander it gets, but I totally
I totally
agree with the like misrepresentation thing.
Yeah, that's what
that's basically what Brad is saying.
Yeah, is that J.K. Rowling like literally on Twitter was like, oh, like of course there was LGBTQ wizards and witches training Hogwarts. Of course there were Jewish Hogwarts people. And then it's like, well, where are they in the books? And she's like, well, you just never heard from them, but they're there. And it's like, this is like 5 years after you wrote the last book, lady. Like, can you, like, it's frustrating.
I think the only thing I will excuse on that, I agree wholeheartedly that she should have done it in the first place.
Right.
The only thing that makes me be like, oh, maybe she was like thinking from like she wanted there to be more representation is like the Dumbledore is gay thing. I think honestly her editors like in the time it was written might have been like, this is a children's series, like you can't put
maybe.
Gay people in a children's series, which is like okay, like maybe this is 2004. It's like, it's not that much, it's, I mean, it's not that progressive. Well,
Deathly Hallows came out in, like, 2007, right? So it was, like, 2006, 2007. So, like, yeah, it's not, like, a super progressive time, especially when you think now, like, since Obergefell v. Hodges in 2015, like, now, like, everyone and their mom is like, yay, Pride! Like, Shake Shack's like, our Pride shirts.
Even, but, like, 5 or 10 years ago, like, think about, like, kind of the difference in, like, think about it. I didn't even, like, know, like, gay people existed until I was, like, 7 or something.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was until 5th grade. My mom had to explain
We got
it.
A Christmas card from my parents' old neighbors, and they were, like, two women on their doorstep, and I was like, are they just friends who live together?
And mom was like, not quite, Mary-Kate.
And my mom was like, sort of, sweetie. And I was like, okay.
Stop.
And,
Stop.
And, yeah, but on, like, I don't know. Do you, I mean, I would have loved that representation. If, like, say it was in it, like, that would be amazing. But, like, there weren't, they, you know how, like, recently authors have been doing, like, the, like, Mr. Giraffe and his husband, the elephant, or something. It's
Or like that John Oliver book about Pence's gay bunny.
Yeah, it's like a little bit of capitalization off of that. That's another note, but
I mean, it's different when I would argue that it's different when you're doing it in a children's book and you're just like, I would hope at least that an author is just like, or a children's author is just trying to, like, just has good in their heart and is like, I just want to expose some kids to good old-fashioned gays. But my two things are that you said earlier, which is, like, completely true, that J.K. Rowling sort of realized throughout the course, the, like, creative process of Harry Potter and writing them, that she could probably get away with anything in these books. And, like, her publishers would just kind of have to, like, shrug and be okay with it. I think she could have fought harder against any publishers that were like, well, are you sure you want to do this? And I say that because even today, when Crimes of Grindelwald is coming out, which is going to feature a young Dumbledore who now, like, is out and proud, and, like, she's out, very out and proud about it, he's not visibly gay at all in the script. And, like, it's been confirmed. Yeah, it's been confirmed that they don't really, like, his sexuality, as far as I know,
that's
at least.
That's just weird, then. Like, it's, like, not, now she's, like, not covering it up, or, like, not, like, misrepresenting it, but, like, she's, like, someone is actively, like, this isn't happening in the movie. It's, like,
what? I
don't know. Like,
I don't
understand.
Well, she's the one writing the screenplay for it, which is the most troubling part. It just kind of, yeah, I know. It is. It's just always, like, a little voice in my head whenever I think about Harry Potter now, of, like, the unfortunate. I mean, it's unfortunate that I have to think about it, but it's weird to me that she still won't just write a queer Dumbledore or, like, a queer character. I mean, I don't know. We talked about, like, how she didn't have a lot of confidence in her writing at the beginning. I don't know if it's still some of that, but, like, Harry Potter is, like, it's a tentpole of, like, art. It's a
tentpole. And I feel like I'm sounding problematic right now. I just, like, I'm super defensive about Harry Potter.
I know you are. I know it's hard to hear.
No, like, and I totally, like, wholeheartedly agree about, like, misrepresentation. Like, I think, especially, like, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, yeah. Like, I think, like, even noting further that Hermione is supposed to be, like, a person of color in the book. Like, did you know that?
I did not know that. No,
yeah,
I didn't,
like,
know she wrote
she
it.
Like, basically said in, like, the first book, like, she had dark skin and this and that and bushy hair, and, like, but then it was, like, kind of never mentioned and wasn't
and
portrayed
Emma
in the
later.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just an interesting, I don't know, like, do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm just torn also, because it's like, I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you're saying. I just think that,
I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah. I mean, race and sexual orientation obviously are two different things to represent. It's just, it will always be a little weird. And, oh, just frankly, a little disappointing that J.K. Rowling couldn't, like, I'm kind of in disbelief that she couldn't fight, like, just a little bit harder, like, say to the publishers, hey, I've got the, like, best-selling books in the world, like, I'm richer than the queen, like, are you seriously telling me I can't have Dumbledore be gay? I don't know. A questionable note to leave on, but
passing,
you know what?
Passing over J.K. Rowling
and
her weirdness.
Yeah, let's not forget that, you know what, she made a damn good, she did, ultimately, I'm inclined to say she did a lot of good in the world. And it's a great series. And seriously, if you haven't read it and you're still listening, stop.
Yeah, like you just got so many spoilers.
I know. Like, I mean, at this point, Voldemort has a kid. What else?
Harry and Ron are gay for each other.
Yeah, Harry and Ron are gay for each other. Yeah, and like, just go read it, okay?
God. Yeah.
Whoa, this was really successful. Look at us.
Wow, just amazing.
Almost like 50 minutes. Okay. Yeah,
well, 10 minutes longer than I wanted.
10 minutes longer than Mary-Kate
wanted.
You know
what? Brett just had to fucking talk the whole entire
time. Oh, I hope I didn't.
What is wrong with you? I mean,
every time I spoke, I was like, wrap it up, ready.
And you were like, other side of the brain was like, no, but I just have to overshare.
It's like, you have to get in one more thing. It's like, Brett, like, your voice is important.
Yes.
Yeah, but no, like, this was really fun. Mary-Kate, thank you for having me on podcast. I am, like, super excited to keep up with it. I'm excited to
see what you cover. Brett can't wait to post this on Facebook and say, it was just a little podcast.
I can't wait to put this on my LinkedIn projects and link it in.
It's like, it's like publications I've been a part
of. I'm considering doing that.
Oh my god, you are insane.
I'm just trying to get hired in the real world. You know,
in another 3 years, you're like,
in
you
another
must get hired.
4 years after I get my,
you know what? A high school is going to be like, okay, like, we're between him and another candidate, but he really just has this Harry Potter podcast. Like,
they're like, wait, they're like, principal's, Jord, look at this. Look at this podcast we found. And they listen and they're like, well, we found him.
They're like, look at this young gay talking about representation in the Harry Potter books.
They're like,
I mean,
well, I think we found our English teacher.
This is the kind of teacher we need in this school.
Oh, God. All right. Are we done roasting me? Are we done?
We're done. Okay. Right. So if you enjoyed this podcast, be on the lookout for another one. Not sure when this is going up yet, but you will know once this episode is up, obviously. Probably in the next couple of days, I'm hoping. Yeah. So, if you like this, keep watching. I'm pretty sure you can like subscribe to it or something. Yeah. I haven't figured out this whole podcast thing yet.
We'll get there.
I'm either going to make like a social media for it, or I'm just going to like
resurrect,
plug it on my own.
We trust.
Jesus.
Mary-Kate's like senior project. Our senior year of high school was like this pop music website called Impop We Trust. And it was incredible. Like,
Dua Lipa owns my soul.
Yeah, she wrote this article called Dua Lipa Owns My Soul, and then like a year later I found out that I've also contracted Mrs. Lipa my entire soul. So yeah,
she also has property over both Brett and I's
souls. She essentially just owns us, and whenever Mrs. Lipa's like, I need your help, we're like, we're at your mercy. But no, sorry to get sidetracked, but I just think Mary-Kate should seriously consider reviving it.
That's
it
another,
cool
episode,
project.
Another episode. Another episode. We're going to talk
thing,
about it.
Whole other
vibe.
Thing.
All other resurrect the social media on that, or you can just follow me on my regular social media, which is at MK and Cheese on Instagram.
Look at this plug.
And Bready, what is your Instagram?
Oh, all right. My Instagram is at Bready. It's Bre, I think it's dot, and then Ttie. Yep, that's it. Bread
okay.
tea. All right.
Bread tea.
And thank you for having me again. No this was lovely. Problem. Hope to be back soon.
Yeah, I'm glad this was easy to talk through, you know.
This was super easy. We only did like two previous takes. One where you got mad I said your mom's full name, and then you proceeded to give out your Instagram, and then another one where we realized we had recorded literally jack shit. So yeah,
rude.
It's been a good time. Like, you know, third time is truly the charm.
It truly is. Okay, so now that we are 15 minutes over what we originally intended, I knew this was going to happen. Thank you for watching.
Do your thing.
A social media person, so you know, go on to be great.
With your lavender.
With your podcast. All right, so I'll see you guys later, and pop off, sis.